Let's do today. So I scheduled some preachers and other guys to take care of stuff so that I can bounce out. So you see me leave, it's not because I got offended. It's my wife called me and said we need to come home to go to the hospital. Amen. So let's welcome Reverend Al Chapman to the pulpit.
Father, we know that destiny speaks louder than culture, Amen. Lord God, and your ways speak louder than man's. And so, Father, we know that this house and this family of God are on the road of destiny. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor Mark asked me to share what we've been doing. He's been doing Fruit of the Spirit, getting ready for community groups, and that starts in January, right?
January 20th.
January 20th, so start putting that on a calendar. And so, Pastor Mark gave me the assignment of the word patience. And I'm excited about it because when I went through to start studying it, I just found out when I'll get ahead of myself. But the evidence, I just want to say a couple things about spiritual fruit, if I may. The evidence of God's character in one's life is the identification and the demonstration of mature and healthy spiritual fruit. We are known and by the fruit that we produce. The true nature and essence of a believer's life is not formed. I want you to hear me now because I'm going to give you some truths today that I know if you hear it will set you free. The essence and the nature of a believer's life is not formed by external forces, nor issues of life. And oftentimes we think about, well, just culture's forming, it's culture's shaping. It is not formed by external forces. Life is determined by the condition and the content of what exists in one's heart. That is what forms and shapes our lives. Nothing external can shape your life contrary to what God has put in your spirit if your heart is producing good fruit.
Amen.
Keep and guard your heart with all vigilance, and above all that you guard, for out of it flow the springs of life, the amplified of Proverbs 4:23. Knowing and understanding how God sees and develops your heart and develops the heart of a believer is vital to the development of one's character and one's fruit. God considers your heart, which is a whole nother message. You can go to Truth and Life Ministries posting of last week or this week on guarding of your heart. But God looks at each one of our hearts as a garden. And the soil God plants in there. The cultivation and development of a spiritual fruit in one's life. It will determine the amount of influence you have in life. It will determine the quality of character that you demonstrate, not just when you're in front of people, but when you're home and your family member is driving you nuts. It will determine the effectiveness of one's witness. If I have bad fruit in my life, I can never be a good witness for Christ. It will determine the degree of light that I shine forth, sitting on a hill, city of lights, and the light of Christ comes forth to the power of the demonstration of the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. We read it last week. Pastor Dan preached awesome last week. Amen. Let's give the praise for Pastor Dan. Amen. Galatians 5, 22 reads, "And the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law." Law cannot dictate fruit. Only Spirit dictates fruit. Can I hear it in our head? Now, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and with his passions and his desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. And I mean by that is by walking is, how do I know I'm walking by the Spirit? As if the fruit of my life is being demonstrated as if Christ walked before me. Does my life exemplify the nine of the Spirit, of the fruit of the Spirit? Does it exemplify, does it bring it forth? And I want us to, as we go forth, because this is crucial to where this house is going. It's crucial to the body of Christ. But particularly we're here, and you're going to be launching, amen, community groups where you will have an opportunity to bear fruit and to see other people's fruit.
Amen.
In a close environment.
Amen.
And God will give you opportunity to cultivate fruit. Can I hear an amen on that?
Amen.
Each one of these spiritual fruits have been planted and seeded in the heart of each believer. And the condition, I want you to hear me now, the condition of the soil of the heart and the substance of the heart will determine the quality of what you do with the fruit planted in your life. That's why God is always after us. And when he saved us, what in his body, he gave us what? A new heart. Why? Because God says, I'm going to have to put a new heart, a new garden, so I'm planting new fruit that my life can be exemplified through your life. And so the garden of your heart is where I plant my fruit.
Right.
The fruit of the Holy Spirit identifies nine attributes of a person. It identifies you. Nine attributes. It identifies you. It tells everybody what's really going on inside you. And all of us is tested. We're all tested. We all have elements where we've conquered patience. I have an element where I always have to work my Christianity out when I'm behind a wheel and I'm in a traffic jam and I can't see why I'm in a traffic jam. My wife would contest to you. That is one area. So the fruit of Holy Spirit identifies nine attributes of a person. But you know, church, it also identifies nine attributes of a church.
Oh, right.
Oh, Jesus. Do I have loving kindness to my brother and sister? Do I have self-control when it doesn't go my way?
Come on, Jesus.
Every organization is faced with either fruitless or fruitful people. Fruit also identifies a country, a community. Right now, the fruit of America isn't too swift. Because we've kicked God out of our schools, the Bible out of our schools. Amen?
Amen.
But a move of the Spirit will bring back spiritual fruit.
Yes.
Now, I want to say this. The only way to produce the fruit of the Spirit is to have the Holy Spirit inside you. It's the only way. You can't have the Holy Spirit's fruit if you don't have the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
For all that in Ephesians chapter 1, 13 through 14, I'll just read this to you. For all who trust in Christ and believe are sealed with Holy Spirit of promise. The fruit is sealed in us. When we get saved, Holy Spirit comes and he seals our salvation. He seals what God's done to us. He actually wants to seal your heart. That's why when we become Christians, we give our lives and our hearts over to Jesus. And then the Holy Spirit comes in and he seals it. What is he doing? He's sealing and guarding something very special that the Holy Spirit knows determines who you are, not what is coming your way.
Come on.
I want to say a very powerful thing. You got to hear this now. If one does not have Holy Spirit, then they do not have belong to Christ.
Right.
Making it impossible to grow spiritual fruit in your life. Amen. And we'll say that again. If one does not have Holy Spirit, they do not belong to Christ.
Right.
And so stop expecting those who do not have Holy Spirit to show you spiritual fruit.
Come on.
They're going to show you man contrive and substitute. Like the word love is the most passed out word, the most polluted word there is in America. But I'm going to tell you the fruit, when you love through the fruit of the Spirit, it produces something in someone's life.
Right.
Matthew 12:33 says, either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree bad and its fruit bad. New King James. For a tree is known by its fruit. I was thinking this morning, we have a tree, it's a really beautiful tree, out in our condo. And it's beautiful in spring. And then when the harvest comes, the ground is loaded with its fruit. The blossoms are beautiful, everything is beautiful. But you're not going to eat them crab apples.
Come on.
I marvel at the holly bushes planted in our condo next to us at Christmas time and winter time. It's so beautiful. It's something to behold, especially when the snow is sitting on it. But I wouldn't eat the fruit.
Right.
Because the fruit of that plant will kill you.
That's right.
And so you see, you can see something that looks beautiful. Apple trees look lovely, but I determine the quality of an apple tree by the apple I bite into, not my eyes seeing some pretty flowers.
Yeah.
Substance, when it comes to fruit, is very, very important. This is extremely important to understand. My assignment by Pastor Mark today is a powerful and substantial assignment because he gave me the assignment of telling you what patience is, one of the fruit of the Spirit. And it's very, very important for us to understand this. I want to just clarify something as we go, because I want to say this statement to you. A gift-oriented Christianity presents a challenge for understanding spiritual fruit. Let me say that again, because that just went right over your head. A gift-oriented Christianity presents a challenge for understanding spiritual fruit. See, spiritual gifts are given to you in a package. Gift of healing, gift of discernment, gift of tongues. Spiritual gifts are handed to you. Particularly in this time of season, we think of gifts where we want to, it's all nicely wrapped and got a bow on it. I don't know if you saved the bows or not. It depends on how much patience you have in opening the package. Right. But I'm here to say to you, we're used to gifts being given us in a church, a body, and Christianity that is hung up on receiving the gifts and unwrapping something that you can use right away. Can understand the process of the development and maturity of planting fruit in a ground and harvesting that fruit.
Wow. Yeah. Amen.
Gifts. Even though the development and reviewing of these gifts take a period of time and it takes maturity, any spiritual gift you got, you're going to have to mature into it. But the gift is there. You mature into the gift. Where if you take a spiritual fruit planted in your ground, the fruit matures inside of you, and you are developed by the development of the fruit, not the unwrapping of the present. Spiritual fruit are planted, grow, and mature into inner workings in one's heart, in one's life. Spiritual gifts without proper presence of mature fruit will be a hindrance, possibly a damage to your spirituality. It's a very dangerous thing when a spiritual gift overtakes the evidence of spiritual fruits.
Yes.
We're seeing that all around the world. People falling in Christianity because they have been so gifted, particularly in the music industry. They've been so gifted. They can get up and exercise with charisma, which might not be anointing.
Right.
They can get up and exercise this wonderful gift, but the gift overshadows the development of the heart. A spiritual fruit of like kindness, gentleness, peace. And so when a gifting overshadows the development of one's heart, the gifting rules the life, opens the door for the enemy to come in and do damage.
Yes.
This is why fruits of my mouth, it's awful marveling. The charismatic movement, we used to marvel, even back then, Pastor Mark, we marveled walking into a Christian bookstore. I think, I haven't been in one in years, but I think maybe we did the same thing, where we found 10 to 1, many anointed books on gifts. And how to roll in your gift, to flow in your gift, and how to have the gift of God just flowing through you. And maybe one or two books tucked in the corner on the development of character,
right,
and spiritual fruit.
Come on.
Should
be the other way around.
You see, patience is one of the most misunderstood, misdiagnosed, misinterpreted words and subjects within one's life. It is misinterpreted. We have so damaged that word that, in fact, I was with somebody yesterday, and I told him what I was preaching at Pastor Marquez, the beach on patience. And the first thing he said, this person's been around for a long time, okay? The first thing this person said, looked at me like, ooh, patience. In a charismatic movement, we say, one thing you don't pray for is patience.
Right.
Don't pray for patience, because you're in for a miserable life if you pray for patience. So patience is one of the most misunderstood. It's something that's not grabbed a hold of because we've twisted it with mankind and our flesh. We've twisted the true meaning of what patience really means.
Yeah.
It's turned out to be a negative. A force that we run away from. I started running into them and embracing. This has caused many believers to become weak. When I get through the definition, you'll understand what I'm saying. This misinterpretation caused many believers to become weak, misguided, unable to live victorious lives. Exercising their kingdom authority. They have no essence of authority in their life whatsoever. Because we have misinterpreted and run from the very essence of what the fruit of patience produces. Mm-hmm. So let me start with this. Let me tell you and identify and expose to you what the fruit of patience is not. That will help us out. Is that all right? Patience is not married to time.
Right.
Patience is not engaged to time. Patience is not connected to time as far as the fruit of the Spirit of God. Time exists to effect change in mode in mankind. God is not held or ruled by time, because there is no time where he is.
Right.
Now, this is an important truth to get a hold of, because most of you are losing your patience because you're losing the time. Because we time, because God gave us time to mold and shape and bring essence into our lives. Time is something that governs us. It's governing me right now. because I could really go on and on and on with this, but time governs.
Right.
God doesn't need governing.
Right.
Come on.
So we have to untie anything that God sends our way in patience to a matter of time. It was 15 years I received a word that I would be put down in ministry. 15 years. But I endured. Because I realized that it was God's time, even though I drove my wife nuts. In fact, one time she told me, I was just really just running, just so clear in this fruit of the Spirit. And I was pacing in, and I'm studying my word, and she said, "Will you just go out and preach to the deer, preach to somebody?" So it wasn't without toil, but it was, in essence, God's time. Patience is not passive, nor lethargic, nor lifeless.
Right.
Because you're a patient person does not make you passive. Oh, that's what the church tells you. Just be patient, brother. Just back off. Just be patient. Time will tell. It is not that. Patience is not indolence, which means disposition to avoid difficulties. Patience is not indifference. Patience is not fatalistic attitude toward life, where one sits back and twiddles their fingers and thumbs around and comes with the greatest anointing saying that we know today. Whatever it will be, is not patience. That's misguided hope and vision. What will be, is left to the undisciplined, unfruitful person who is in someone else's control besides God's.
Amen.
Are you with me?
Yes.
Patience is not weak. Because if I'm waiting, I'm telling you, I'm glad patience is not weak, because we've been doing this thing in this community for 28 years.
Amen.
Amen?
Lord, amen.
Hang on a minute. And so you have that patience. It's not weak. You've got to be strong.
Yes.
To have patience.
Yes.
You've got to be a person with fortitude to stand in the midst of something that will bring you down.
Right.
And so patience is not weak. Patience is not a force, enormous power, or an influence. Rather, it's an exercise of patience. It's preferring not to opt out when things get difficult.
Amen.
Do you know how many churches are destroyed because people want to give things and do not possess the gift or the fruit of patience? I've had so many people over the years come through here. We've had prophets from all around the world come into this place. I remember one person received a prophecy about being a pastor. And because it wasn't moved upon within 1 month, that person was gone. Because patience doesn't come instantaneously. Patience is something that's developed. Endeavoring to escape patience is not endeavoring to escape from great situations. That's not patience. That's cowardice. Believers try to avoid and coming in contact with difficult people. That's not patience. Patience is not avoiding awkward people.
Wow.
situations. Patience is not getting upset with God because this isn't what we thought it was supposed to be.
Right?
Patience is understanding who's God. Patience of God of heaven is just the opposite of what I described to you. When the fruit of patience comes, it's the opposite of what I'll describe to you. It is strong. Very strong. James chapter 1, verse 2 through 4 in the New King James Version says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials." Are you with us so far?
Yeah.
I mean, you really need to go further now. Count it all joy when you fall into trials. Knowing, come on now, that the testing of your faith, come on, produces patience. Stop running from your tests and embrace them.
Right.
Stop running from your problem and embrace the problem that the work of the Holy Spirit might bring the truth out of why you have the problem.
Amen. Jesus.
Verse 4 says, but let patience, Paul, I love this scripture. Let patience have its perfect work.
Yes.
That you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing.
Amen.
Is the lack in the body of Christ because we refuse to slow down and stop enough and do what we have to do to allow patience to have its perfect work in us, that we can be complete and perfect in all things? Possibly the problem with the body of Christ and church, particularly in America, is that we have no patience to let God do anything anymore. Patience means to endure. Don't you hear that? Here's a proper words to describe patience. And you'll see they are in direct contrast to what patience are not. Patience is to endure, to remain, the ability to bear provocation, the ability to bear annoyance, being annoyed, misfortune, pain without complaint. Patience is I've got pain without complaint. Patience is to endure without complaint any misfortune or loss of temper. My wife can contest, we've been married 54 years, we've been together for close to 60. And she still knows that I try her patience. That is changing. But we've endured. Because it's important that I have patience for her and she has patience for me. Even though once you get through the initial emotion of whatever happened.
Right.
Patience speaks louder than problems.
Amen.
The voice of heaven, you said it today, the voice of heaven, well, you say the voice, but the heaven is greater than the culture. When are we going to get this squared away, church? God's working patience in you because he wants to get heaven in you so you don't have to deal with culture.
Amen.
So patience is to remain steadily under control. That's what patience is. It's not wimpy. I'm going to tell you something. If you think patience is wimpy and weak, you try. The reason you're failing is because you believe it's being weak. Patience is being strong.
Right.
Patience is sucking it up and shutting your mouth when you know you're right, but you're going to cause a problem if you make your rightness on everybody else.
Right.
Why won't they all get it? We understand that, right? When are you going to get it? So patience is to remain steady under control. Patience is to remain steadfast no matter what you're facing. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Chris was telling me about prayer. Sometimes you get a number of people come in, four or five people in prayer. And I share a story with them because you see, pastoring up in this region, you learn how to endure.
Yes.
And I said, Chris, that's a great improvement when I started with. You remember me saying that, Chris?
Yeah.
I had four people in my prayer meeting for the first year, 2 years after starting this church. Four people. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, and Pastor. But when you've got partners of those three, patience should be empowered, not decreased. And so it's extremely important. Patience is like a plow. Once you put it in the ground and it's connected to the source of pulling it, whether it's a tractor or horses or oxen or whatever, or Jesus.
Come on.
Patience is like a plow that it goes down and you start going, everything is just fine until you hit the first rock. And then you got to bounce over that rock. And then you plow down the road and you're caught up in a root. And it's just like holding you, controlling you. Not letting you become who you want to become. Not letting you do what you want. And that root just controls you. And so, instead of breaking through the root, we quit.
Yeah.
Plowing. In a heartbeat. We stop. And if you run into enough roots in that garden, so what's the use? What's the use? But do you know, in our culture we live in today, you can say what's the use. But a farmer, back when their life depended on that garden.
Yeah, come on.
What's the use didn't exist. I had to break over and break through the roots. I had to remove the rocks out of that plow. Is someone following me here? Amen. And then all of a sudden, we reach that point of hard ground called the hard ground of the heart. We reach the farmer, gets in, and the plow just stops, almost breaks. The ground is so hard. What's the use? Well, the farmer back then couldn't say what's the use.
Right.
And so we've taken the definition of patience of wimpiness and quitting and crying and moaning in our culture today because we've lost the essence that if I don't fix that ground, I'm not eating.
Right.
And we've adopted that mentality of spirit in the heart. Are you with me?
Yes.
You see, someone who's working fruit as a believer puts their plow on the ground and they go forward until they break free. They don't stop. They don't stop. They just keep going.
Amen.
They hit another rock. It's okay. Take a little bit more time, patience. I'm going to dig the rock up because that puppy is so big I can't plow through that thing. So now I can dig around it and get rid of the rock. Patience, endurance, understanding. And so it's really important. Philippians 3:12 says, New King James, now that I have already attained or am already perfected, But I press on, not that I have already obtained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Church, your plow has got to keep plowing to lay hold of what Christ has laid hold of you.
Amen.
We got patience is to create something inside you that you can endure long enough to capture what Christ has given you.
Right.
Do you know how many people go into the grave buried with no dreams, unfulfilled visions, because they didn't have patience enough? They didn't wait. They didn't endure. They didn't go their way, so they quit. Or they cried and they moaned and they groaned. Or they blamed everybody else. Because there's no child of God. I'm building it in your heart. You got to cultivate your heart. If you don't have any stamina, you got to pray and cultivate it in your heart. Because you understand the word. This pastor in this church, Pastor Mark, he preaches the word. You got to understand the word. Okay, I'm not strong enough to get that plow down the road. I'm not strong enough to press through. I'm not strong enough to stand no matter what. But the Bible says that there where you are weak. Come on. God is strong.
Yes. Amen.
So we don't understand patience because we don't understand the word of God oftentimes.
Right.
And so this is very, very important. Hallelujah. I'm trying to figure out what I'm going to eliminate here because I'm running out of time. Patience speaks of endurance. Being steadfast, having a tenacity. That's what patience is. Tenacity of the believer to move forward. That's what patience is. Your pastor, trust me, I talk with them all the time, has got tenacity to move forward. If we ever shared half the things that went on that would make someone want to, well, that's the use. This man's faced it. I'm not blowing his horn. He's faced it. He's got his plow deep in the ground at this church.
Amen.
There come time, brother, where the rocks will be gone.
Right.
Amen.
The roots that are stopping you will be out of here.
Yes.
The hard ground won't exist anymore because the ironclad ground has now been washed with the gospel of Jesus Christ, with faithfulness of the saints, who said, no matter what, Pastor Mark, I am plowing forward in this house.
Amen.
I'm not quitting and running away. Patience is to finish the call of God. Philippians 3:14 says, like, to finish, to go to the call, to get to the call of God. Patience, church, listen to me now. This is so important. Patience is to finish anything as strong or stronger than you started, not weaker.
Right.
It's not how you run the race, it's how you finish it.
Yes, hallelujah.
At the end time, God's not going to say, well done, good race winner.
Come on.
It's finished. Faithful servant. You allowed me to do in your life what I had to do to produce substance of character in your heart. So I know when I bring the anointing of Holy Spirit upon you, the gifts of the Spirit. How many want to see the gifts of the Spirit? Power. My wife and I have seen it. We grew up in that era. I know what it is to walk around and see people fall over. I know what it is to see healing. We've been all around the various places in the world. We've seen the power of God.
Amen.
But we've also seen the power of God fall over fruitless people.
Yep.
And they no longer exist in the ministry.
Yep.
Or in church.
Come on.
Or anywhere. Patience is to finish the race.
Yes.
With endurance. Can I hear anything on that?
Amen.
A challenge that is plaguing believers. I've seen it Been this thing for over 45 years. Been seated that a challenge that's plagued believers is that they start strong and enthusiastic, only to drop out, cool off, quit, and become weak.
Right.
Because someone promised them something. Trust me, church. Salvation is a starting point of your walk with your life.
Yes.
It's the cultivation of your heart so God can plant something in it. But to continually be saved is a whole different ballgame.
Yes. Amen.
That's where God plants fruit in your life, like patience.
Right.
And he starts working on it. Working on it. And just when I've reached the level that I've pastored, and my wife, I've reached patience. I'm a patient man. Until I get on an I-84. You see, we've all got to work on this thing.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Patience means to stand. I don't have time to get into all that. But the Bible says, when you've done all, stand. From Ephesians 6. When you've done all, stand. Okay, just quickly, that stand does not mean crying, moaning, grinding, okay, whimpering, laying down and watching television and saying, what's the use? I'm not going to do this anymore. It just doesn't work. Well, maybe you ought to look at the farmer who planted the ground where if he doesn't get the crop, he starves to death.
Right, come on.
Because it doesn't work. Not in your time. Oh. That's right. God's not concerned with time.
Come on.
Do you realize something that if God promised you something 10 years ago, you waited 10 years and now we're getting a little impatient. I waited 15 years before I preached the gospel. 15 years from the time it was promised to me. But you realize that what God promised you 22 years ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, in his eyes, no time has passed.
Right.
So in God's eyes, 15 years didn't pass. Come on now. It happened exactly as he said it was going to happen. What did change was 15 years of cultivation in my heart that I can handle what he already told me I could handle. Isn't this good?
Yes.
One cannot develop or have patience in their life without Holy Spirit in the center of their being, molding and shaping an attitude of perseverance and relentless compulsion, fortitude, and diligence to live and walk in the Spirit. Patience is not to make you wait. Patience is to make you strong.
Amen.
Amen. Patience is not to make you wait or to try your soul. Patience is to make you strong to endure whatever comes your way.
Right.
All the years that I waited, I was 48 years old, the time God sent us to this place. 48, could you have done it about 30 years younger? 48? 48 years. Wow. After being here for 28 years, if he'd given it to me, right, Brother John? If he'd given it to me when I wanted it, you wouldn't be here today.
That's right.
It's because the gifting would overshadow my fruit.
Uh-huh.
We could not endure what we went through in the Northeast. But by the grace of God.
Amen.
Producing life through the heart, not the giftings. Church, I tell you, I don't have time to do this, but I can tell you stories that we had been in. We were in Argentina, and just the power of God fell. And it just, Pastor Karen and I walked down, it was like a snow plow, just praying for people just being slain in the spirit. The power of God was so great. But if I didn't go through what I went through, I would have swallowed that moment up, owned it,
right,
and it would have destroyed me.
Yeah.
Because I knew by all those years I waited, don't touch the glory. All those years I waited, get it here, so you don't get it here. God is good. Galatians 5:25 says, live in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. Start walking in the fruit of the Spirit. That's what that means. Oh, I'm going to walk in the Spirit. They know I am God. I'm going to flow.
Yeah.
That's not walking in the Spirit, church. That's flowing in the anointing of God. And without fruit, will kill you. Because you see, the power is so powerful. We've seen it. We've experienced. I'm not talking up here, well, I've heard this. No, we've experienced it. We've experienced the power of God that you couldn't even stand on your feet. But when you experience something as majestic as that, if that garden isn't plowed,
you're right. Come on.
With the fruit of the Spirit, particularly patience, so you can endure.
Yeah.
I don't have time to go through that. I'm just going to read a couple more things and we'll stop it. It's important. I feel so passionate about this. I got convicted when Pastor Mark started out really, because I remember the charismatic days when we used to make fun about patience. Oh, don't pray for faith. God will give you something you have to have faith for. Don't pray for faith.
Right.
What a stupid thing to say. Some of you are dealing with things in your life and you're ready to quit right now. In this room, ready to quit. I can point you out. You're ready to quit. But God says, no, I want you to put a fortitude in your heart and your spirit. I want to put something inside you that the devil will never take down.
Amen.
See, what God puts together, let no man put asunder. I don't have time to go through a whole explanation of our Lord, but if you want to read the example of patience, the typology of patience, go study Jesus.
Yes.
At one point, he said to disciples in Matthew 17, I won't go there, but it says, if you're a faithful generation, how long do I got to be with you before you get it?
Yeah.
How long am I going to be with you before you get it? He's trying his patience. You perverse generation. How long? And then he heals the guy. How long have you got to see things happen? How long? Before you start questioning the majesticness of the Messiah. How long? But one thing I want to do, because patience is endurance. So I want to read a scripture to you that is the essence of patience. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3 in the New American Standard Version. Fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him, come on now, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Boy, I'm glad he endured.
Amen.
Boy, am I glad he endured. Boy, am I glad he endured. For consider him who has endured the hostility by sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. The patience of the fruit of the Spirit has been planted in your heart that you will stand for Jesus Christ. No matter what.
Yes.
Benefits of being patient is produces within each believer their own character, tremendous strength and evidence and endurance. The benefit of patience is it puts an endurance in you, a strength that no one will rock or shake.
Amen.
No one. Creates toughness, which is one's ability to endure hard people. Anybody ever deal with hard people? Situations. And the exercise of your faith and belief. Why am I so weak in faith? Because you've not allowed the fruit of the Spirit, particularly patience, to metabolize and materialize inside your heart. And so you become weak in an area because you become wimpy when God says, I want you to be what? Strong in faith. But you didn't answer my prayer 15 years ago. I can't trust you, God. Maybe he didn't answer the prayer so you would have 15 years of changing your heart of trusting him. Maybe the work in the Spirit is not to give you what you want when you want it, but it's to develop the garden of one's heart, the cultivation of the soil, that no matter what's planted in there, it comes up.
Yes.
All we got to do is weed the garden, toil the soil, fertilize it, bring water, take care of the soil. I think that's called... three things. What is it, Chris? Three things. Worship,
prayer,
and the word. Every day keeps the soil of your garden right. Patience allows one to be patient under adversity, discovering the great faithfulness of God. I've had times when I cried out to God, I didn't sign up for this. He says, yes, you did. I had a situation, I'm not going to go into it, length of time, all that's not important, but the situation happened. We were pastoring here, and I remember going outside our condo. I didn't care who was around. I yelled at God, I can't take this anymore! Literally. I didn't sign up for this! You know what his answer was to me?
I understand, son. I understand. You've been damaged and hurt.
No, his answer was, get up and get in there and preach Sunday morning.
Right.
That was his answer to me. He didn't crawl down into my whining and whining and my weak stuff that I didn't want to do. He simply said, I'm going to put patience inside you. In order for patience, you have to endure no matter what comes your way. You want my best, learn to endure everything that comes your way. And when you get through, you will get well done.
Amen.
My faithful servant. Glory patience God. Allows one to be patient under adversity, discovery of great faithfulness of God. People ask, well, how can you stay all these years? Great faithfulness of God. Amen. And you do that because through patience you learn the faithfulness of God. That's why I stand in front of you. Every believer is faced with cultural demands, pressures, influences that create the image and lifestyle and mindset in their lives. Some are lacking the will, the strength, the fortitude, enduring power to stand for what is right and true. However, when the perfect work of patience is finished, the character of God comes forth like a shining light. Romans 15:5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another, church, according to Christ Jesus. Pastor Mark.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Al. We just want to Bless everybody in the name of the Lord. So guys, just a couple quick reminders. I'm going to let you go, please, to help out with some meals and holiday presents. Please see Christina. Christina, wave to everybody. Turning point, guys, is Sherry over here. Please, guys, just jet out to the lobby. Don't let anybody leave until they help you guys out with something. Amen. How many people were anxious of patience? Yeah? Yeah. I just love it, man. Patience. One of the things I love that Pastor said is he says, God's not giving you patience to make you wait. Patience comes to make you strong.
Amen. Right.
Amen. Amen. So, Father, I want to be strong.
Yes.
We're inviting you, Holy Spirit. Make this house a strong house, God, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Have an awesome week. We'll see you on Wednesday night for prayer. Amen. God